Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast. All right, so you know about the Showbox Show in Seattle on June 4th. I'm also doing a show at the Magic Bag in Ferndale, Michigan on June 10th. And then June 11th at the Granada Theater in Dallas, Texas. But did you know that I will be performing on the 17th and 18th of June at the Arlington Draft House in D.C.? I am returning because it is an awesome theater, so please come out. The shows were amazing last time. And then also on May 21st, the tickets go on sale for our Comic-Con show, Nerdist Podcast Live at Comic-Con, July 23rd. Yes, they go on sale May 21st, Apocalypse Day. Fun times. And the end of times. Well, since this could be the very last sponsorship we ever have, I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being our final sponsor, possibly. GoToMeeting.com solves the challenges of getting people together on a computer to meet, because it is cost prohibitive to travel these days. So you get everyone together on GoToMeeting.com. It's easy. It's super effective. Production collaboration sessions, planning meetings, weekly status updates from wherever you are. So you just go. It's super easy to use. Free 30-day trial. GoToMeeting.com. You click the Try It Free button and enter the promo code Nerdist. You will not be sorry if you have to interact with other humans on a meeting-type level. You can look them in the eye and see if they're lying or not. You can point them and go, ah-ha-ha! I thought you were a liar. And then you can thank GoToMeeting.com, as I thank them for continuing to be our sponsor. And now, here's the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 90, Hostful Goodness.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
We're recording.
Oh.
I just saw Jonah walk in with Deanna.
Did I just hear building. Feedback? Holy shit.
Wait, the G4 show that also records in here? Or actual feedback?
No. Actual feedback. Not the G. I don't think anyone heard
it. It's Jonah Ray!
You started?
Yeah. I wanted to get your entrance. Where's Deanna?
She's went to Starbucks to
go hang out with Greta?
Greta's over
Greta
there.
Is?
Yeah.
Oh, well, shit. I didn't know
that Bridesmaids was gonna be as long as it was.
It was long?
Time. Yeah, it's like a 2-hour movie.
Oh, was it as amazing as everyone says?
What did she draw?
I'll be at Starbucks.
She drew a picture that said, I'll be at Starbucks, and then there's a smiley face dick and balls on it.
Yeah.
Is that part of the Dick a Day program?
That's a style. She hasn't kept up with it. And she keeps on running into people like Mary Forrest.
It's not called Dick a Month.
That's true. I should get on her ass about that.
Damn it.
I should get on her ass about those dicks. I didn't know it was gonna be so long, the movie, but it's fucking great.
Everyone loves it. I mean, listen, when Jimmy Pardo writes on Facebook, unsolicited movie review, this Bridesmaid is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Because he's a bit of a curmudgeon.
He is. I don't think I've ever talked to him about a movie he liked outside of, like, I don't know.
And he loved Bridesmaids.
Godfather of Green Bay. outside of the one he's in.
Listen, Rose Byrne may be the most attractive person on the planet. It's possible.
Whoa.
I don't know.
What about Gillen there, Karen?
Doing? They could mud fight for it.
Oh, all right.
Not mud wrestle, mud fight.
Mud fight.
That's where you load
throwing
guns
mud
with
at
mud.
Each other. All right.
Yeah, no. They're both
pulchritudinous female specimens.
Oh, calm down, Big C.
I'm sorry.
Big C, calm down.
What's funny is it's funny.
People are going to go crazy when you hear you say that again.
It's funny what sticks, right? It's funny to me that Noodle Story stuck. It's funny to me that you said Big C a couple times.
Yeah.
I'm getting all these Big C tweets. Someone said that it was on my Wikipedia page.
It is no longer already there. I looked.
No, yeah, they took it off.
How often do you check his Wikipedia?
When someone tweeted it, they said,
"Oh my God, Big C is on your Wikipedia page." So someone pulled it off. I think maybe now would be a good time to go through and just confirm or deny the information on my Wikipedia page. Early life: Chris Hardwick, born in Louisville, Kentucky, son of a professional bowler, Billy Hardwick. Yes, that's true. Named after sportscaster Chris Schenkel. True. Grew up in Tennessee, but attended Regis Jesuit High School in Colorado. And then I also attended Loyola Jesuit High School in California, in L.A., for my last year of high school. Study philosophy.
Ouch, you moved to L.A. last year of high school?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No,
I went to three different high schools.
Yeah, and I knew you traveled around a bit, but for some reason I was never quite sure on the years spent where. That must have been shitty.
No, I moved a lot when I was a kid. I was used to it. I started high school in Memphis. Then the middle of my freshman year, we moved to... My mom and got remarried. My stepfather, we all moved to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And then... I went to public school for a day where I almost died because I didn't. I'd gone to private school. This is where I'm going to sound like a douchebag, first world problems kid. But this was just my life. I had gone to very small private school up until then, and then I go to the school in Denver where there's like 3,000 people, and I couldn't deal with it. And so my mom and my stepdad put me into Jesuit high school. Where I was just around dudes.
Yeah.
Just around dudes. But it
hasn't
was very small.
Affected you whatsoever.
It sure hasn't. Let me taste it.
But their
cocks
were big, right?
What?
Their cocks were big.
Relatively speaking. At least. I mean, as opposed to a public school where it's, you know, you just
mix and match.
3,000 of them.
Who does that?
Yeah. But so I went to Regis Jesuit High School in Denver from freshman year through junior year, and then Loyola in LA, my senior year of high school.
My parents tried to move me from Hawaii to Lake Tahoe the summer before my senior year of high school, and I just threw shit fits. Like, I just was fucking very upset because I'd finally made friends in high school, and then like they let me go back.
I was excited by the idea of moving to another. I mean, I liked moving. We moved so much that I would get antsy.
Yeah.
If I didn't move, and so I didn't, you know. Because I hadn't forged like super, I mean, I had really one best friend, a guy named Rob Horan, who still lives in Denver. And we're still friends, but I didn't really have any other friends at Regis. So when I moved, it was like, well,
yeah.
And then I tried to start over, Jonah. I tried to start over.
What was your new personality?
I tried to do the Millhouse in Shelbyville.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Where I started hanging out with football players and cheerleaders, like, right when I got to Loyola.
Yeah.
That lasted 3 weeks.
3 weeks, and then they kind of figured you out? Or you figured it was...
Yeah,
it was
yeah. When all these super cool, attractive California kids are drinking and smoking weed and fingering each other, and then I'm like, hey, did you see the Bobcat Goldthwait comedy special? And then that didn't really work out.
Well, not even in a way where you're like, I'm the funny one of your group.
Nah, like quoting comedy to cheerleaders in high school, it turns out you might as well be speaking Korean.
Yeah.
And they're not Korean.
I dated a cheerleader in high school.
Really?
Yeah, for like a year and a half.
You mean carbon dated her?
I carbon dated her, C14.
Yep.
And it worked out. She was 2,300 years old.
What? That's fantastic. Well, at least it saved you from having to cut her in half and count the rings.
That's true.
How did you date a cheerleader?
I played football.
Oh. I mean, I didn't mean, like, how did you date a cheerleader? I mean, like, what was the process? Because I was never...
What was the process?
I always felt uncomfortable around, like...
I played football, and she was actually dating my best friend at the time, and then I stole her from him.
Oh. Jesus. So, like, he fumbled her.
He fumbled her, and I picked it up, and I ran with it to the 20-yard line, and then I got...
And then you got your heart broken.
Too many sports. I think I broke up with her in computer class. Yeah, we were learning Microsoft Excel 97.
Spreadsheets.
It's not funny because it was of the time.
Yeah.
Did you create a function where it said like me plus you equals zero?
She drew a graph. If I remember correctly, she drew a graph for me of like how much time, like she wanted her time versus my, how much time she wanted to spend with me. And the graph was like, she wanted this much time with her and a very small amount of time with me. And then I was like, and I just crossed me out completely and said, we're done.
Okay, so technically you did break up with her,
but she
but it sounded like she paved the walkway.
Yeah.
Well, I took the walkway.
Okay, yeah. Good for
obviously,
you.
Obviously, I mean.
Good for you.
Not going to not be a man about it.
Good for you. Yeah, no, I couldn't, I can't hang around cool people for, like, maybe, you give me 5-10 minutes and I can probably sustain. Like, oh, I'm okay. But then just the nerdy comic comes out and then that and was, then it's not fun for
that,
anyone.
That computer class, that teacher was the same teacher that sent me to the office for saying something was asinine.
Really?
Because of the word ass.
Oh.
Like she didn't know what
that's
the
like
word
how people
meant.
Get sensitive.
She didn't know
if,
what the
that's
word
like
meant.
How people get sensitive if you use the word niggardly to mean thrifty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it has a horrible root word in it.
Yeah.
Which is,
and then when you say joom down on the price.
Do you're mean not a, supposed
do you
to say
a,
that.
That's
do,
not.
Do you mean a horrible
a
words
word?
A horrible. Oh, God. Pull out! Mayday! Mayday! Mayday!
We've just made all of our listeners uncomfortable.
All six
everybody
of them.
Uncomfortable. We did make a few Sarahs uncomfortable last week.
That was, yeah, that was fun.
I had a lot of fun doing that. Okay. Yeah. So I went to UCLA while I was studying philosophy. I was a member of the Chi Phi fraternity for a year. After my freshman year, I got out of it. And occasionally they try, because there were 8 of us and we started this chapter at UCLA. So it was much more maverick in my mind, but still ended
James
up being
Garner
a part of the Greek
Mel
system.
Gibson?
Garner.
Okay.
Always James Garner over Mel Gibson. Always.
In life, I suppose that's
always.
A good rule.
Always. Rockford Files is a fucking awesome show.
That is a good show.
James Garner is a badass. So I tried to divorce myself as much as possible from that fraternity, but they still track you down. I was roommates with Will Wheaton for some time. We did meet at a showing of Arachnophobia in Burbank, California. I don't know how they tracked that down.
That was on the podcast.
Oh, we did talk about Arachnophobia?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. Okay, that's right. I was a DJ on K-Rock in Los Angeles in the mid-90s. I did appear in House of 1000 Corpses Halloween 2 and Terminator 3. There wasn't I Love 90s.
Was your Married with Children cameo on there?
Nope, it's not on there. Be. Damn it.
Boy Meets World cameo?
Maybe. Voiceover work.
It's a good show.
Yes, that's true. I did do the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd and Back of the Barnyard, and I did play Green Arrow.
Anything about Web Soup on there?
Hardwick also reads the credits at the end of Certified Copy, but is uncredited himself. That is not true. I did not read the credits at the end of a weird European movie called Certified Copy. That is not true. Boy, they took all this other stuff on here. They had a bunch of fake stuff about my mom.
Oh, really?
About how my mom's name was Marge and she was a pediatrician. And my mom ran across the Wikipedia page and she was like, are you ashamed of me? Why did you?
Oh,
and I'm like,
no,
I didn't put that on there. You don't understand.
Are you ashamed of me?
Why would you say I'm a different person with a different job? Like, I didn't say that. You don't understand. Then I had to explain, user-driven content to her. Yeah, that's all true. Stand-up comic world.
Mom, it's just UGC.
Yeah.
It's just UGC.
Yeah, there is no mention of Web Soup on here. That's weird.
Really?
Quick, someone do that.
I was saying that as a joke, and now I'm upset.
Well, it does say in the side, notable works and roles, Web Soup is there.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
That's good.
Participant. Yep. Yeah. So that's all pretty true. Good. Well, I'm glad we've cleared all this up. Oh, I did write an episode of Back at the Barnyard entitled they took it off. Citation needed. There was no citation, so someone took it off.
Oh.
I did write an episode of Back at the Barnyard called Little Otis. There you go.
How are those royalty checks? Rolling in.
They're not rolling in. No. Here's the trick to television animation.
Write the theme song.
Write any song.
Yeah.
And you get royalty checks. I wrote a handful of songs in Back of the Barnyard, so that's where some royalty checks come in.
Yeah.
That's where Big
and
C
if any of the toys them. Would say your had your vo- would have your voice, you would get royalty checks, right?
They didn't make any toys.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is weird.
Would they be afraid that they would get confused with the Barnyard Commandos toys?
Yep. That's right. The Barnyard Commandos toys. They were afraid.
Yeah.
No, they said that, they're just really Barnyard. I mean, they're really just animals, so why would kids pick them up over? And I'm like, well, because they're characters they know.
That's what was so awesome about Barnyard Commandos is that they there was like, you know, cows and pigs and sheep and stuff like that, but they came with like these little weaponry things that you can put on top of them that shot little rockets and stuff like that. It was really cool.
That would not be cool at all, because then we would not have breakfast, because the animals would be firing missiles at us.
No, it's a fake world.
Oh. Wait, are you sure?
Yeah. I think.
I watched that great zombie movie again 28 days later.
Mm. God, I love that. That
makes him so mad.
I love that.
It's not a zombie movie. It's a rage virus movie.
I don't sound like that. And it's not. It's a rage virus movie. It is. It is. It's not zombies. It's not. Listen, they're zombie-like.
Really, the villain is the humans in that. So I think we all learned something.
How so? Because they're the ones that create it?
Because not only is that the case, but when they get taken to that compound, the real enemy is the human.
Christopher Eccleston.
And then he has to sort of
Christopher
become
Eccleston, the ninth
infected
doctor.
With rage to fight the human. Yeah. You know what I mean? So he becomes one of them. To fight the real enemy, which is ourselves.
It really was. 28 Days Later is such a great movie.
It's great. It
really
is.
It holds up so well.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Way better than 28 Weeks Later.
I didn't see it.
But though, 28 Weeks Later, the opening scene is one of the best things in cinema ever.
I thought the movie was okay. Not as good as the first one.
Not as good as the first one, but that first scene could, like, you could just take that first scene and just put it up against any other movie.
When Robert Carlyle just digs his thumbs into her eyes, like, that was...
And when God. He just finally, when he's running across the field and then they start running over the hill, like, and he's just, and he finally gets into the boat, and then, like, when he finally gets away from all of them, he just has that feeling, like, at that everyone else in the theater had, which is like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit.
You know, but watching 28 Days Later, what's kind of fun about it is that there's, what's funny to me about it is that there's a, like a big fuck you to like militant animal activist groups.
Yeah.
Because basically they're the ones that, set off the chain of events.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a 28 months later, right?
Oh, yeah. I've never heard of that.
What?
Isn't there a 20? There's another one.
28 weeks
Isn't
later.
There a third one?
Oh, third one. I had no idea.
I might have made that up in my head. Maybe I dreamed it.
Well, 28 weeks later didn't even have anything to do with, there was no Danny Boyle part of it at all.
No, they just sort of picked it up after. Mm-hmm.
Which happened to a lot. Like, I mean, like Return of the Living Dead Part 2, I don't think really had much to do with the people before it. And, of course, the later sequels, which are all horrible, horrible movies. Like Return of the Living Dead 3, Love Never Dies. Return of the Living Dead 4, Necropolis. And Return of the Living Dead Part 5, Rave to the Grave.
Did you? Rave to the Grave. That's fantastic.
I can't get on board that.
No. None of them are any good. Necropolis has one of my least favorite scenes, which is these, a bunch of zombies are coming at these two guys, and they're shooting them, and they run out of bullets, and they throw the guns at them, and then they both look at each other, and I can't remember if they actually said this or just gave the motion of, let's do this. And then they start punching the zombies in the face.
Which you should never do.
You should never do, because you could easily hit their tooth.
Yep.
And they can chomp on your hand on it. You know, you get some of their fluids in you and a cut, and then you're that's it. You're done.
That was why in 28 Days Later, when the guy gets bitten by the what's her name's
bad.
Basically the one guy gets bitten when they go back to his house one guy's house, and then because I can't remember any of the character names, and then they go back to Jim's house.
Yeah.
And then the other guy gets bitten when the zombie.
He's like, no, it's cool. It's cool. I'm all right. Yeah.
And then she just like beats him to death. But then she's splattered in blood.
In face. Yeah.
In the face.
Yeah. But if you don't get it in the eye, you don't get it in the mouth. I mean, like, she would be able to tell right away.
Have you seen?
I just think that's an irresponsible way to kill a rage virus victim.
It is. Well, you should have a little, face cover, like a welding.
At least
mask
a welding mask. Yeah.
But my least favorite part about the guys that are starting fighting, punching the zombies in the face, is that the zombies, I'm using that term lightly, in this movie, are getting punched in the face, and then one of the zombies throws up a block. Like a karate block, and then punches the guy back. And that's the thing really irritated me, is because a zombie, they don't have the concept of like, well, I punch them. They're not out to hurt you. They're not even out to kill you. They're out to eat you, and that's all they want to do.
Yeah, but maybe he's doing some cross training, and training at 24-hour fitness, like just going into the gym there and learning some boxing.
Have either of you seen the Call of Duty new downloadable pack where, they have the zombie pack for Call of Duty?
Yeah, everyone keeps on telling me about that.
Have you seen it? It's now the concept of it is you can play as either George Romero, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Danny Trejo, or Robert Englund.
Always Danny Trejo.
I don't know.
But like, Shetty, don't text, man.
Like actually, I would play Sarah Michelle Gellar and just stop to finger myself.
I
would play as Robert Englund for the same reason.
Hey, wait, Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund?
Yeah.
You totally cut your joke up.
But it's like, because they can't quite use all the characters. You know, obviously he's they are Machete, Buffy, and you know, Freddy Krueger, but like it's their the idea is they're filming a movie, and then as they're filming a movie, a real zombie outbreak happens.
Oh, neat.
So George Romero, you know, you play as any of those four. You know, have you played the multiplayer zombie Call of Duty?
No.
You spawn. You don't know who you're going to spawn as. You spawn as one of them. One of my favorite things about it is you can play. There's a level where you play at the Pentagon, and you either spawn as Nixon, Castro, Kennedy, or whoever the defense secretary.
They were all there, man. They were all there.
Fucking awesome.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, download that.
I need to play more games.
I have pre-ordered L.A. Noire. I'm really looking forward
to it. Yeah, that looks like it's going to be really good.
It does look
great. Three discs, 8 square miles of Los Angeles.
That's awesome.
In 1947.
It's like L.A. Confidential, the game, right?
Yep.
I don't know why I gave you a look, Chris.
I wrote that movie.
Yeah, you like it. You like that movie.
The L.A. Confidential Blu-ray has like my favorite special feature ever, which is you can pull up a map of Los Angeles and select on a star the location. And then Curtis Hanson sits there, tells you about the location, and they show you the movie and the real location.
Stockard. They use that place, right?
Yeah.
The place with the oil pumps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. On the way out to the airport.
Yeah.
They built that,
off of La Cienega.
They built that motel out there. That was the only one thing they had to build.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Still there?
No, I think it's gone. I don't know, though.
I watched over the weekend Salt, which I thought was pretty entertaining.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
What? Baby, Salt and Pepper.
Oh, Salt and Pepper. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Veruca Salt, Seether.
Oh.
Of course.
No, Seether is neither.
Black nor white. I also watched Cinema Verite, which was pretty good.
That movie?
It was
based on real life by Albert Brooks.
Well, Albert Brooks's real life was based on American Family, which was a public television, the first reality show, basically, from the early 70s. And I have to tell you, Diane Lane is
so
fucking incredible. Nice. Yes, she's gorgeous, she is such a phenomenal actress. She was so good in this.
That was an HBO movie, right?
It was an HBO movie,
yeah.
It's interesting to make a dramatization of a thing that happened, like, rather than just showing the thing.
Chris, your nose is bleeding.
You guys see that flash, right?
Life after people.
God damn it. What are you going to make me mad? I also saw Thor last night.
I liked your tweet
about it. Oh, how was it?
Oh, my God, you guys.
I didn't see his tweet about it.
It's not great.
No?
Yeah.
It's not great, and which is surprising. I mean, to me, that's just my opinion. But I saw a lot of reviews that said, "Oh, Thor is awesome," and I didn't really. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't. It didn't interest me.
It's just not. It just didn't grab me the same way that Iron Man did, or Spider-Man, or like.
I feel like I have to see it.
This sounds like a weird thing to say, but Thor to me isn't as believable as X-Men or Spider-Man or Iron Man or Batman. That's why I don't like it.
Well, because it's the only one that is completely mythology based.
Yeah,
but you know they did a nice job with Asgard. It was really cool, but it just I don't know. I just something about it. You just kind of left like eh.
How is tiny Natalie Portman and giant Thor?
Well, it's weird because they directed all Kenneth Branagh directed all of the Earth stuff. Almost like it was a weird sitcom.
Oh, really?
So people are like, Bumbly, and where else? Oh, look at that guy. And it's just like, what are you doing?
I would also,
I tweeted that I had really hoped that the post-end credits scene was Jim Carrey finding Loki's mask.
Oh,
but as the character Stanley Ipkiss.
Where did that dog go with it?
As the character Stanley Ipkiss.
I would go see Thor if there were if someone said there was a reference to Adventures in Babysitting. I would just go then.
Oh wow. Yeah. That's
when there's not.
That. Well, then I'm out.
Then you're out?
Yeah. I'll see it some other time.
And then now we gotta wait for Captain America.
You gotta see it, guys, before the Avengers movie comes out.
Yeah. I mean I say go see it. Make the decision for yourself. You know, like the fact that people are going to see the movie a lot is good for film. Just because people
see Bridesmaids, man.
Yes, go see Bridesmaids.
That's a fucking good movie.
Yeah, you're right. That should have been number one this weekend.
It wasn't.
It was not?
Thor, I think, was again.
That's a shame. Bridesmaids was so fucking funny.
Well,
so
Thor probably made like another $40 million.
Yeah, that's fine. But like also, you know, it's more expensive because of the 3D.
Oh, yeah. They factor that in?
Yeah, they factor that in. They don't. Cool. If they did seats sold, it would be different.
They should do that.
We did not go see it in 3D because I personally
don't like it.
I hate 3D.
Don't think 3D is worth it.
I'll go see. I'll go see My Bloody Valentine 3D. I'll see a movie like that. You know, I'm bummed out. I missed out on Friday. Cine Family showed Friday the 13th Part 8. Manhattan at midnight. And we couldn't go. Very bummed out. That's the ridiculous one where he doesn't get to Manhattan.
Did he take it from the Muppets?
He did.
They already took Manhattan.
Yeah. It's not Jason takes Manhattan. It's like Jason in Manhattan, I think.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't take Manhattan.
Yeah. That's where Jason meets Rizzo the Rat in that greasy spoon, right?
Yeah, and Jason can't remember who he is.
Yeah.
And
he thinks he's an ad executive.
He sees those other guys in hockey,
hockey
masks.
And they're ad executives.
Yeah, and then he finally realizes who he is, and then he murders everybody.
Yep.
And then Rizzo has that cousin that's almost the exact Ratatouille character that saves the kitchen.
Yep.
And then Pixar makes
it. I had a cheat day on my slow carb diet yesterday.
How'd it go?
It's the fucking worst day of your life. It's fucking disgusting.
Why?
It's just I was just eating like shit and I felt horrible the whole day.
Yeah, that's what's fun. That's what weird about it, which is kind of a good side effect because then you don't want to eat as...
You'll get used to that.
I was also a little hungover all day, which didn't add to like all this new sugar.
Are you hungover? What did you drink before your cheat day? How did you drink before your cheat day?
I had vodka and water.
You're not supposed to have vodka.
The guy can have the fucking Tim Ferriss can have 2 glasses of wine.
He has a glass of wine.
He says two. He says 2 glasses of wine.
Whatever, but you shouldn't have vodka. I'm just saying what the diet is.
How am I supposed to be an alcoholic and on this diet then?
One day a week, buddy. No one can get in touch with you.
I don't know how I'm supposed to do it. How am I supposed to stop the shake so I can fucking work my job?
Just watching from the sidelines. Jonah, he just told you can't have vodka and water. What the fuck?
What is?
That's fucking ridiculous. I'm trying my best. That's the best I can do. Vodka and water. You know it sucks to after work when you know a couple of us from Westwood go to the bar and everyone's having these refreshing glasses of beer, sparkling in the sun of summer Los Angeles, and we're sitting on the outdoors and I'm having a fucking hard drink at fucking 6:30. It's depressing.
All right. I mean,
what else am I gonna do?
Look better than everyone else.
That's what will happen.
Yep.
Feel good. I feel better on this diet than I did the time before.
Well, because you're doing it. Like before, I think you were skipping breakfast and stuff, right?
No. Remember, I was trying to do the small meals a day.
That's right.
I was trying to do 5 small meals a day at the same time as the no carbs at all. And I was also like going to the gym for an hour every day. I think it was just a bit too much too soon.
And you were just gathering your information from reviews of the...
Yeah.
You need healthy carbs. Carbs are fuel.
They're great.
Protein builds muscle.
You
carbs
know what I
are
did
fuel.
Yesterday for lunch, I went to the butcher at the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And I bought a steak. And then you can bring it to the Korean barbecue place that's right next to it. And they'll grill it up for you for $4.
That's great.
Really?
Yeah. How much is that in total?
It's probably like
$400.
$13 bucks. But for 1 pound of very good steak.
That's a great idea.
Right?
That's a good idea.
Right?
Makes you feel like you're living in a small town.
I felt like
the farmer's market.
Yeah, to the farmer's market. I went to, me and D before the movie went to the Hollywood farmer's market, which they're trying to close.
Yeah.
You mean D from D, What's Happening?
Yeah. No, D Snyder and I hanging out.
We're
talking about Strangeland.
What are they trying to close? Larchmont sometimes.
They're trying to close the Hollywood farmer's market. Because
not permitted correctly or something?
No. It's just the Los Angeles Film School wants they have a media center that they want to have a loading dock in the back and that they want it to be open on Sundays. And that's right there. That's where the farmer's market is.
Which is where?
On Selma and Ivar.
Oh, that one. Up behind the Hollywood the Hollywood and Vine thing.
It's like where the new Urban Outfitters is.
Yeah. Space
1520
or something.
Yeah, Space 1520. They got an Umami burger over there.
I know. It's always too crowded. I can never get in there.
You got to go the one down on Hollywood.
All right.
You gotta go that one down there on Hollywood there.
On your cheat day.
I'm on my cheat day right now.
All right.
Started with cheese Danish from Porto's. And then
we went to Porto's yesterday for Tres Leches and a couple cupcakes. Yeah.
Yeah. Greta brought them for me. And then cheese Danish from Starbucks.
Wow.
Then a cheese Danish from the cheese Danish store.
Chocolate croissant.
This is very, very boring. So I went and got like a fucking awesome sandwich from the potato chips. They got that spicy salami sandwich.
Who does?
Spicy potato chips over on...
What the fuck is that? That sounds awesome.
On Beverly.
On Beverly. It's great.
I've never been there.
That's a great sandwich place. Spicy tuna is really good, too.
The spicy tuna is not on the menu anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a shame.
It used to be good.
Potato chips.
Potato chips. Yeah, it's right next to the Cobras and Matadors.
Now, see, there's a spicy salami sandwich in Soho in New York. There's a place called Salume.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a panini that's this awesome fresh bread with spicy salami and gherkins and Tabasco sauce and brie.
Gherkin sounds like something you say when you're coming.
Gherkins.
Yep. Here's a tip. Don't say that when you're coming.
Are you sure?
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Unless you want the person who is underneath or on top of you to leap away.
Oh, yeah.
In fear.
No, I just hold on tight and say, sorry.
Either of those hug positions are almost impossible with my back. I can't.
A guy the other day at the live podcast gave... advice to Matt about spinal arthritis. And he's like, I took this pill and it changed my life. I can live a normal life now.
Steroid injections.
No, he's that pill he was talking about. He says he takes a pill.
No.
Birth control.
No.
That was a pill.
Ari said he takes I've talked to him about it.
Yeah.
It's injections.
Why don't you do it?
He gives himself injections. Because I can't, the steroids wouldn't be good for me because they would raise my blood sugar and which would fuck up the diet. So once I get down to a manageable weight, then I'll probably do it. But in the meantime, I'm just going to lose weight because that's, in the long run, that's better for my back.
All right.
What is your goal weight?
Many doctors have concurred. My goal weight has always been 280 pounds, which I'll probably breeze by pretty soon.
You're going to get down to like 190?
I don't think so. I don't think I'm physically capable of that because I have a size 8 head.
but actors have huge heads.
But that would look weird, right?
No, you just look like the Pep Boys.
Oh, okay. I want to look like the one with the mustache and the round
head, glasses. Giant head with a tiny, tiny, skinny body.
You'll do everything for less.
Well, yeah. Your head might shrink if your body gets smaller.
Well, my body has gotten smaller. My head is exactly the same size.
Your face or your head?
The head. The circumference of my head.
Your face meat.
My face meat is smaller.
Right.
Even if you look at my license, you can see that it's much smaller than it was.
What do you care about the head size of your head? Why would my head's kind of big, so I'm going to stay a little overweight.
No, I'm not going to stay a little overweight. I'm going to get down until it stops. I don't know when it's going to stop, but I don't imagine it will get... Because I've been told by doctors before that they don't... That I probably won't ever get down to, you know... I'll probably always be a pretty big guy.
What do they know?
They think I'm big boned or something. I don't know if that's a thing, but like I have broad shoulders and I'm... Built like a whatever, fucking orangutan.
You are not built like an orangutan.
He does have a really tall torso.
I'm very hairy. My torso is almost as tall as Jonah's, and he's
If we sit down, he's as tall as me when we're sitting down.
Do you use your knuckles for support on the
Sometimes.
Ground? Really?
That's how I get up.
Oh, I didn't realize that. You were kind of an orangutan. Yeah.
Did you guys see the trailer for Fright Night?
No!
Yes!
Fright Night trailer's online. You only see one shot of Tenet, but it still looks like...
Oh, I didn't even see that shot of Tenet.
Just him just looking up. It's really quick. Yeah. Really quick. But it looks awesome. Starts off, you're kind of like, a teen vampire movie. And then it takes this turn, and it looks awesome.
I cannot fucking wait Colin for Fright Night. Hilarious.
Oh, another trailer I saw that came out. Was it Horrible Bosses or something like that? It's the guy who directed King of Kong and has a... It's who's in it? It's,
Jason Bateman's in it, right?
Jason Bateman.
Oh yeah, I didn't see the trailer.
Sudeikis? No.
Jason Sudeikis. Yeah, yeah. The guy Danny, or what's the guy from Always Sunny in Philadelphia that yells a lot?
Mm.
Danny DeVito?
No. Like the one of the main dudes. I can't remember his name.
Charlie Day.
Charlie Day.
The person that everyone says that looks like my brother. I get that a lot. You and Charlie Day look a lot alike.
Buddy movie.
I also get lead singer of Muse.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I get a singer, Decemberists.
I get Eugene Levy's fat nephew.
Colin Malloy,
yeah.
Eugene Levy's fat nephew?
Yeah.
Who's dumb and weird enough to say that?
Three times I've heard that.
Who would say that?
Does he have a fat nephew?
I don't know.
If he had one, you would look like that guy.
Yeah. And everyone would be weird because why is this guy's nephew look more like him, his uncle, than his dad?
Right?
You look like his fat nephew, Thaddeus Levy.
Yeah. No, he wouldn't even have Levy as a last name. It's a different.
Yeah, it's his sister's. I'm his sister's kid.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So many flaws in that thing.
Listen, Eugene Levy didn't have to do every American Pie sequel.
No, he didn't. But he's still doing the new one.
This is the reboot.
Yeah.
This is the guys who wrote Harold and Kumar writing this one.
Is it a reboot or is it a sequel?
Sequel, I guess.
A Siegboot.
Siegboot.
It's a Seaboot.
I think it's a let's ignore everything past American Pie, American Wedding.
Oh, well, no. I mean, that's stuff that's in the same world, but it has nothing to do with the characters.
What are you talking about? The new one?
No. Like those other ones, like Bandcamp and all that stuff.
But I'm pretty sure, like, there was a new Stifler or something, or maybe that,
I don't know.
No, it was
Stifler's brother. Brother.
I never saw them. So.
Didn't you like this? The trailer for the fucking DVD, straight to DVD movie is like, "You're Stifler's brother," and then that's and then they go on from there.
Boing.
And then he drinks cum in a beer.
Erection. Yeah.
And then they know that it's him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's surprising to me that I am here right now, all casual, when today, which we're recording this on Sunday, my book is due tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I meant to try to make you nervous about that.
I'm actually going to finish.
Yeah?
I finished all of the major revisions on Friday, and so I've spent the last couple days, I started over, and I'm just combing through every page to make sure I'm comfortable with all of the language.
That's awesome. How many times are we mentioned in it?
You do get mentioned in the book.
Yay.
You do get mentioned in the book.
I guess I'll separate, read it.
Here's what never to do, and then...
lay out the last 7 years of my life. Yeah.
No, you guys do get mentioned in the book.
Yeah.
You get mentioned in the book. So I'm about halfway through making sure that I'm comfortable, that everything makes sense, and that, you know, and that I like the way it's...
Send a copy to my lawyer. And, you know, make sure it's all good.
You have a lawyer?
No.
I want to get one. If anyone out there is listening.
Oh, we had, what was that guy, with the video games, to deploy? To
Dave Atari?
The guy that emailed us about giving video games away to the troops. I'm going to say I enjoyed Dave Atari, but it doesn't deserve that. It doesn't deserve what Matt's giving it right
take
now.
It. Funny to me. I don't know. Dave Atari.
Yeah, he's the guy that started. I'm looking up your emails right now.
Once a podcast, Chris gets me.
Video games deployed to troops could use some Nerdist love. Here's the email right here. Yeah, basically there's this company, this guy, really. I think it might just be a guy.
But he wants video games?
Well,
he likes to
every so often send care packages of video games to an infantry unit in Afghanistan.
Cool.
So I'm pulling up that website right now, so you can get information.
Plenty,
today.
Actually.
Yeah, actually, I have quite a few as well. I have quite a few as well. I sure wish I got sent more video games than weird sci-fi erotic thriller novels that I keep getting that have literally covered every sector. There's like a werewolf one, a vampire one, a witch one. There's pirates.
Wow. Is it clear on the cover that they're erotic?
Oh yes.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, imagine the classic Fabio covers, but there's like
I was
a
doing
werewolf.
That before you said that. I was already imagining.
That would explain the masturbating.
Danielle Steele presents. You guys hear about that Google Chrome netbook?
Hey, yeah. I did hear about it.
Yeah.
Gonna get it?
I love Google Chrome. I use it on both my work computer and my Mac at home.
That's stupid.
Why? It's good.
Safari's better.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Why is it?
I'm a company man.
Matt,
what?
Now say your mother to Jonah. I just want to hear you guys. So if you go to fronttowardsgamer.com and you look up Operation
Google
Companion
Chrome
Cube.
It's very consuming of
you. He was in the middle of a sentence.
Operation Supply Drops Companion Cube. Target acquired.
Nice.
That's what you look up, and you can see, get information on how to donate games that you're not playing anymore.
Operation.
Which is a really good idea, because there are people in Afghanistan, and it may surprise you to hear that there is not an Afghani GameStop that they can just pop in. Oh.
And they've been there for a long time, so a lot of games that you might find old are probably, you know, they haven't even had a chance to get into them.
Yes. Yes, so please send video games to the troops to distract them from where they are and what they have to do.
Yeah, yeah.
They deserve
give them video games with fake murder so they can...
Yeah. And you know what? Take a picture of your tits and put them in the game thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll like it.
You know.
They're pretty hairy.
You don't know. Why don't you shave? Shave your tits, man.
I used to shave my chest. And
really?
Yeah.
What?
Because it gets so...
What? So what? So
I high. Do that sometimes too,
like,
Jonah.
I would cut it down to here. I wouldn't go the whole thing.
Oh,
I would
okay.
cut it down a little bit.
I had
bit.
To do that because I wore a shirt on Attack of Show the other day, and I had this tuft of chest hair sticking out in the V.
Not good.
And so I was like, ah, that's gross. So I just went, meh, and I create. And then when I took my shirt off, it looked like a reverse dickie. So like there was this negative space here, and then everything else. And I was like, ah, shit. So then I just went through and shaved the whole thing, which I say, as someone who exercises pretty frequently, being hairy and sweating is gross to
it
me.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, believe me. You're talking to Captain Harry Sweaty.
Captain Harry Sweaty.
Hi, guys. Captain, I'm here from...
Captain Harry.
Of the Here Super
It's pronounced Sweaté.
How's your part-timing going so far, Matthew?
It's going. I like it a lot.
Yeah?
I really do. But granted, it's been a week.
Right.
So
you're not freaking out.
I'm not sure, but I do. So far, it's been
great. You got your open mic tonight?
Yep. Got some stuff done. Got some writing done on Thursday.
Did you get a couple pages? I'm going to try to... If I finish the book tonight...
I hope you do.
Then I will drop by.
And you'll know, people, if he has finished the book, because this will air after.
I have no choice. I have to finish the book. There's no, like...
You sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
Have you talked to them?
Like, contractually, you I have nicely, to finish the book. Contractually, I do have to finish the book. No, I am going to finish. Right. You don't have a lawyer yet, Matthew.
All right, but I could get one.
Well, you might get one off this podcast.
Again,
yes,
by the time this airs.
Yeah. You might get... I would love to see Eugene Levy as your lawyer.
That would be...
Uncle. Your Honor, my client. Did you ever see a movie called Going Berserk in the 1980s?
No.
It was John Candy and Joe Flaherty. And Eugene Levy is in it. And Eugene Levy plays this porn/film producer called Sal DiPasquale. And he has this assistant who can't pronounce his name. She was like, "That's great, Mr. DiPasquale." And he just shouts at her, "DiPasquale! Moron!" Like, it's just classic Eugene Levy.
That's awesome.
Going Berserk. Going Berserk.
Classic Levy.
Classic Levy. Which is a movie that they shot just as an excuse to go to Bora Bora. And Bora Bora is not at all in the movie. It's just in the beginning. It's all this. John Candy's just the king of this Bora Bora tribe.
That's awesome.
And it's like, I bet you're wondering how I got here. And then the rest of the movie is just all...
low concept.
All in Chicago. Going Berserk. It's a fun movie. Totally fun 80s comedy movie. What else you guys got going on this week?
I don't know. I'm trying to think what I do. I don't do anything. Because the thing is, like Monday nights, I'm editing Web Soup stuff. And then Tuesday nights, you know, we do the taping and then I just, you know, go home and get some sleep because I hadn't gotten any the night before. Wednesday nights, I got the Meltdown show. Mm. That takes me out every night. And then like Thursday night, I try to like just do like a set somewhere.
What's the Meltdown show?
Meltdown Show is my weekly comedy show with Kumail Nanjiani with co-producer Emily Gordon. And every week we have great comics. Last week we had Patton Oswalt on. He did like over an hour of his new material that he's working on his Showtime special.
Holy shit.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Did he not have a good set?
No, he had a great set.
Of course he does. It's Patton.
But there were times where there was like just obviously stuff he was kind of working through and trying to figure out.
He taped it last night, right?
I think Seattle? So.
Yeah, did he really?
Yeah.
My
where
friend,
did he tape it?
In Seattle. I don't know where in Seattle. But
I don't know when. It went out the Showbox. I can't remember where.
That's where I'm performing at the Showbox.
Yeah, my friend went.
With Kumail.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Kumail's coming to perform with me at the Showbox June
4th. That's great.
In Seattle. In Seattle. Hey, Jonah?
Yes?
It's a question.
It's hey, a God. Comment. I'm tired.
Yeah, it's great. Question.
It's God. A question. Hey, just cum. Just skim.
I'm sorry. Did you say it's cum skim?
It's cum skim.
Cum skim. That's gross. That's
it's
rumpled cum skim.
No, it's you have a cup of it, and it's the stuff you take off. Some people like
and
it.
And that's
it's
what Stifler drinks, and that's how you know it's Stifler.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you really Stifler? And then he drinks the cum beer, and then you're like, you're Stifler.
You're Stifler after
Talk
all.
Talk about the pale ale, right, fellas?
All right.
I believe that was the joke in the movie. All
right. Get this party going.
Let's get this party started.
All right, this is from James Q. Murphy on the comments thread at nerdist.com/quemens. Question for Jonah. Do you watch the animated series Regular Show? They recently aired a zombie episode and wanted to hear his take on it.
No, it probably sucked. There you go. I don't know. I don't know what's Regular Show. Does anyone else know?
Don't know.
I haven't seen it.
What is it? I don't know. See,
It's probably one of the 70 Adult Swim shows.
Is it, do you think?
That's what I think. I don't know. I really don't know.
It's possible they got it right. Sorry. I'm sorry that I...
What's
sorry,
it called?
Jimmy Murphy.
This is fun. Here we go. This is from Schmanuel.
Schmanuel.
Hey, nerds. Just listened to the Ed Helms episode and had to share something truly glorious. As a brain tumor / cancer survivor myself...
Mm-hmm. Oh, shut up.
Well...
sorry.
I was... So anyway,
sorry, that's all Matt Myra, me, Matt Myra.
Shut up, Jonah.
People will think that. He was subject to countless phenomenon in kindergarten cops, jokes, references, and questions. Really? You would do that to someone with a brain tumor? Hey, I guess it is a tumor. Like, that's why would you do that to someone?
I would just say, get back to the magic carpet. I mean, your hospital bed.
He frequented searches for trivia and other nonsense, which led to a magical discovery. Phenomenon 2. But just because it's called Part 2, don't for a second think that it's a sequel. No! It is a made-for-TV remake, and it is shit-tacular. Point number one, the progression of his powers is comically accelerated. Well, I don't know how that's comically accelerated.
He can move two sunglasses around in a circle on a table.
That's right. That would be faster. Two, he has a couple new powers, including an advanced healing factor and the ability to defy the laws of radio waves. He hypothesizes that the healing factor will essentially keep the tumor in a state of flux, slowing its growth without curing it and thus erasing his powers. All right. It features Terry O'Quinn as an FBI agent.
Hey.
I don't know if any of this happened. This might be
Chris,
a byproduct of the brain
tumor.
Didn't
you say this was a fun one?
he said he could easily name a dozen others, including self-erasing emails, a kid who fakes autism, and the pre-tumor scenes leading to the audience to believe that George is mentally retarded. The Doc character, previously played by Robert Duvall, is now played by a random old codger and has a weekly riddle. I don't know what that means. Immediately after seeing The Flash, George doesn't hesitate to correctly guess this week's riddle, to which his friends and family react with their utter disbelief at the point of insisting he'd heard it before. What was this impossible riddle? I have two coins in my pocket that add up to 35 cents. One of them isn't a dime. What are they? I made sure to record it when it aired on Lifetime and haven't seen it available anywhere else since. I have copies if you'd like to bask in the glow of this masterpiece.
Wow. That does sound like a pretty good bad movie.
I don't think it does. I'm sorry for your brain tumor, and I'm sorry, Schmanuel, that Jonah made fun of your brain tumor. He clearly has no respect for the awesome power of mortality.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I just thought... I don't know. My brain usually goes to be like to the biggest asshole.
The worst place possible?
Yeah.
I know mine does too.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, this guy Schmanuel's okay.
Yeah, that's good.
So. He's typing emails and, I mean, except for the hallucinating fake sequels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But other than that,
what if he's not typing them? What if he's just looking into a screen with his eye and then his pupil is matching with the letter and he's paralyzed?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't know if he didn't make any mention of that. You'd think that'd be at least the second thing.
Yeah, well, it takes a lot to type that one thing.
The next question comes from Amanda. This question is for Matt.
Hey.
Have you been moonlighting as the voice talent for radio ads?
No.
I commute to work every day in the San Francisco Bay Area and keep hearing an ad for a once-a-day dieting pill with a guy who sounds exactly like you.
Fat.
I can't remember what the pills were called,
Wait,
though.
What, Chris?
I guess it's not... What?
You say I sound fat? Is that what you just said?
That's what it sounds like she's saying.
Damn.
That's what it sounds like she's saying. I should have hashtagged that in my term, because that's what it sounds like. Like, I heard a guy on a diet ad, and he sounds like you.
Well?
I guess it's not a very good ad, and I guess it's not a very good equipment. Keep up the great work.
Listen, guys. I am available for voice work, if you would like.
You got voice work right here, buddy. You didn't have to audition for this one.
Yeah. We get a lot of like tweets and stuff like that. It's like, hey, were you in a commercial, or is your voice this thing? Have you blah blah blah? We don't do anything else.
No, and we're not. We don't sound alike.
I don't think we sound alike.
I don't think so either.
No, we definitely do not sound alike.
They know people accuse us.
You,
too.
They know us. I don't know.
They have. They think we're different.
All right, Jonah.
Yeah,
this is from James Hawley. He's been listening for a few months and wanted to send you a choice of what fictional weapon you would have in a zombie invasion,
which he didn't
bother to put a parenthetical that might also be fictional. You may only choose one. Good luck. A portal gun, a lightsaber, the Iron Man suit, a dog that shoots out killer bees when it barks, a gravity hammer, a Mario star, a Pikachu.
Okay, well, the dog that shoots out bees when it barks is a Simpsons reference.
Yes.
When there's in the bug, they shoot bees at you?
Yeah. But everything else is a reference from something else, so it's fair that he would have a Simpsons.
That's true. I'm gonna go Iron Man suit.
Good.
I guess that's true. They wouldn't be able to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Iron Man suit would probably be the best one. Yeah. Oh, and you could fuck them up with your
pulsing.
The repulsor ray.
Yeah, yeah. Lightsaber would be cool and helpful. Because you kind of just lop off heads, you know, with it real easily. But in the interest in continuing on in a world full of zombies,
to be able to fly away from a situation, to be able to have the extra strength, to be able to not get bit. These are all things. So the
portal gun would just let you jump around. Like, you need something to.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's like, yeah, what are you going to fucking jump in one portal and out of another portal that has more zombies in that area?
But I wonder what a Pikachu would do. What do you think a lightning mouse could do?
Pikachu would eat the whole. Wouldn't it eat? Doesn't Pikachu eat things? No, he shoots lightning. I don't know what he does.
And a Mario Star.
I never followed Pokemon.
Mario Star is temporary. It doesn't last forever.
Yep.
It's just like life, man.
Right? Life is a Mario Star.
Nothing lasts forever in a cold old Mario Star.
That should be the when Mario. That should be the song that plays when Mario hits the star instead of. It should be like.
Nothing lasts forever. I'm in cold November rain.
That would be awesome. Someone's got to
make
that on YouTube.
Watch out for that train, Slash.
Put that on YouTube. Wait, you know what? Make that video and send it to me, and I'll put it on the Nerdist YouTube page.
That church in that church in that video is the one at 3rd and Wilton.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. That's a fun little trivia for
us, the
1%
of
the audience.
The three of us.
Gravity hammer? I don't know. Yeah, I think Iron Man suit.
Iron Man suit.
Yeah, that's obviously the answer.
Yeah, because it's multi-purposeful.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you have an arc reactor then?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good question. Does it drain immediately?
Wait, no. Then how does what's his face do it? War Machine.
It has its own power source. Like,
so
it's not built into him.
So yeah, then I would have a version of that then.
Okay.
Yeah, you would have to have the arc reactor technology in your chest for
I mean, I would take it, but I mean, if you mean by Iron Man outfit, I could also have War Machine. Then yeah, I'll do that.
I would take War Machine over Iron Man.
Yeah. Would you really?
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, Iron Man's just a little more fashionable and sleek for my.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
it,
yeah,
no,
but
that's
talking
way,
about in
way
a
pinch
zombie situation.
You also need to be light on your feet.
Yeah, I'd rather have regular Iron Man suit.
You can fly and shoot missiles.
Hey, listen to this. If you're fucking Tony Stark, you've got all of them.
Yeah. It's true.
Right.
But this didn't say you would be Tony Stark. It just said you would just have the Iron Man suit.
And like, I have no idea how to use it or get into it.
Greatest American Iron Man.
I'm fiddling with it and they're all attacking me.
Like the greatest American hero.
But you'll have,
it's like, ugh.
You'll have his butler assistant in your head talking to you. Right?
His butler assistant?
What's his butler? What's
Jeeves?
His computer? His computer is called Jeeves now.
Everyone's yelling at their fucking iPod right now.
Hang on a sec. Jarvis.
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 I wanna do a count. The our go to name right now for the season of Web Soup for fake names has been Garvin. And
male prostitute?
Fred Garvin, we just used that one in the last episode.
I was just watching a rerun from this season and that the indie movie sketch when you fucking throw the quote up with Blaine Kapach.
Yes, yes.
So fucking funny.
Yeah, Blaine was actually like on like out of town on some family business. And I was like, man, I still want him to have some kind of presence on this episode. So we came up with a really,
that was so funny.
Like a pun. Review.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have that. I have a picture of that. Still have that saved on my phone. He's the new Zach Braff playing the patch.
Zach Braff. Did you guys see Talking Funny?
I'm halfway through.
I started it. I saw it right before I was about to go to bed and I was like, oh, I'm just going to watch the first 10 minutes. And I did. And it's great.
It's great. Yeah. 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 It's awesome. It's funny too because it's like everyone's like talking about their long history in comedy. And then it gets to Gervais and he's been doing stand up for, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, just Seinfeld, Chris Rock, and Louis C.K., you could not pick three harder working comics in the business.
Yeah, exactly.
Who, for decades, have just been. I mean, you know, like Louis C.K., when he was writing on Conan, you know how tired you are after writing just on fucking Web Soup? That's not even a daily show.
It's not a daily. Yeah, exactly.
He would write every day on Conan and then go out and do sets.
That's what Jeselnik was doing when he was on Fallon. He would go out and do multiple shows a night after working on monologues all day for Fallon. And I was like, it sucked, but I did it. Ruined two relationships, but fucking worth it.
Yeah, that's what. So Matthew, that's what you're looking forward to.
Yeah, you know, it's different. It's different than, you know, when you have like a job, it's like, you know, like it's, I remember like just having the worst day at work sometimes than some other jobs I had, but like still my brain wasn't being used as much and I would go out and I would have this all this brain capacity to do stand up.
Yeah.
As opposed to like now where it's just like I the output of your brain is so much higher.
You just gotta save a little corner for your stand up.
I sometimes at work I get fucking fried by
Well, you're problem solving all day.
Yeah.
You're opening up machines and replacing things and putting other things in there.
Like right now, Chris is doing like more stand-up than ever, and he's also writing the book. It's just fucking, I can't imagine the...
I'm pretty great.
Also building
You're a shell of a man.
You're a shell of a man.
Who said that? I can't remember the last time you blinked.
Who said that? Jonah? Is that you?
I can't tell.
You, come closer.
Yeah, it's not the being... It's not the staying busy. It's not being busy that's hard. It's slowing down that's hard.
Yeah. You have that,
do you not
that
look forward
anxiety.
To that?
What?
You don't look forward to slowing down?
No. That's, and it's like, important, too. Yeah. It's very important to do that, and I don't look forward to it.
Wow.
I don't look forward to it, because it's very hard. It's sort of like, it feels like if you're sprinting, and then you just decide to stop all of a sudden, you just fall on your face.
Yeah.
So, it would really take me a week to decompress.
Yeah.
It would probably take at least a full week. For me to really like slow
when
down.
When do you
and
guys
into
even,
the rhythm?
When do you even have that?
I don't, and I really should take the time to.
When's
do that
is Web Soup going on break anytime soon?
At the end of June, I think.
That's like the end of our 18th episode run.
Yeah.
Holy shit! Already?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah,
we're halfway through.
Yeah,
halfway
we're through.
Wow.
And we just like I feel like we're finally getting into the rhythm because we had like you know the premiere and then we had this fucking specials we had to do.
Yeah. Yep.
And then like it's so we have these weird schedules, but now we're on this like normal schedule. Then we got E3 coming up, so that's gonna
E3 is gonna be fun though. E3 is gonna be fun. Comic Con's gonna be fun.
Comic Con.
We're gonna have some good stuff.
I want to go to one of those.
Montreal. You allowed to say that?
Yeah, they've been tweeting it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes, I will be performing in Montreal for just for laughs.
Je prends rire.
These weekends.
Désolé, un américain stupide.
Every time I think I'm
weekends?
Like these weekends, it's weird because you know I all week I'm like man, I'm gonna get some stuff done for myself on the weekend, and then the weekend comes and all I want to do is sit around and watch fucking movies.
Right now it's weird for me because I have that like as it stands right now I have Wednesday, Thursday off.
Well, yeah, that's your weekend.
And it's like 2 days
in a row. Can I make a recommendation
to
you?
I've never had 2 days in a row off.
Can I make a recommendation to you?
Please.
Just schedule an hour of work time for yourself on the weekend. Put it in your calendar.
Yeah.
1 to 2 on Saturday, you've got to work. And pretend that you have to do it.
Yeah.
Because if you schedule it, then it'll feel like it's a little more real.
That's true.
To what you're doing as opposed to like, if you rely on yourself, like, oh, I'll just get around to it, you won't do it.
Yeah, but then at the same time, I'll use that as a reason to not do laundry.
I just go for walks.
Well, you know, laundry, these machines, you don't have to do it outside by hand anymore. You just put them in a machine, and then it's done.
Yeah, but Chris, I'm in an apartment living. I'm not sure if you remember. You have to walk down the stairs and have to wait for someone else
Jonah,
to
Jonah, all you have to do is walk past your rec room to your... underground laundry facility.
Yeah, exactly.
In your house.
Yeah.
And then when your housekeeper comes in, you just have her fold it all.
I used to just fluff and fold all the time. When I didn't, before I had in-unit washer and dryer, I used to just...
Yeah, I do fluff and fold. It's hard to resist doing it once. It's like a drug.
Great.
So yeah,
they in-unit fluff and fold sounds so hot.
It is.
Yeah. Sir? That's the cough button, not the belch button.
Well, it still works. And I use it all the time.
All the time. Well, is Comic-Con, like, I can still, theoretically, get
go
a pass,
now.
Right?
Remember that last time we told you to go online and like, register?
I got busy.
I'm trying to get media passes for Nerdist.
All right.
I don't know if that will work.
I'd imagine we get them.
Can't you just have, like, a Discovery Channel make you lead a panel again and then...
They'll give one to him.
Yes, I'll just have Discovery Channel put me on a panel.
I understand
a company
how this
I don't work for.
I understand how this works, and you can do that, right?
If someone asks me to moderate a panel, I will moderate a panel.
Please ask him to moderate a panel, and then he'll have to record it, and then I'll go, and then the batteries will die, and I have to get it off their DVD.
Oh, man. First world problems.
7.
Oh, you know what's on Instant Watch right now?
What?
Mystery Science Theater, the movie.
I did see that.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Finally.
It's not that much of a difference. It's not that much of a difference for me because I have the video file on my phone, on my iPod, on my computer. I have it because it's one of my most watched movies of all time. But if you haven't ever seen Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie, which is where they use This Island Earth, and it's one of the best episodes they ever made. It's great.
It's so good.
Yeah,
so good.
Packed full of jokes. It's my first record is like based off a line from This Island Earth because of how into the movie I was. Getting ready to record my next 7-inch.
What is that one?
Do another 7-inch?
I'm going to do another 7-inch on AST Records called, this one's going to be called Mr. Magic Plane Person. And it's going to be another little short EP on vinyl and on digital download, just like my last one.
Nice.
I admire your moxie.
Yeah, I just, vinyl. I think it's, I eventually want to put out 3 and then do like a whole, packaged thing for all 3 of them.
Very smart.
Yeah.
Very smart of you. I think I'm going to record an hour special later this year.
Nice. Yeah. I've been wondering when you're going to do it. You've been...
Well, I think it's going to be later this year. Because it'll force me to burn through all of the material that I've been doing the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And then...
start afresh.
And then just start all over again.
I know where you can start. Every Sunday night. Come on down.
I am going to come by Matt Myers' day off at the Meltdown.
You should too, Jonah Ray.
Yeah, it will force me to write some new fucking jokes.
Come tonight. I'll make you do 3 minutes.
Three?
Just 3.
I'm supposed to
if you don't want to do, you can do as much time as you want.
Yeah.
An hour.
Yeah, well.
Tons of sketches on Web Soup this week?
Yeah, there's a weird cartoon that Wade made for it this week. We're doing all kinds of, just tons of weird things. Weird things. It's a really weird, fucking awesome, awkward episode.
Weird
Not
soup.
Awkward, but like, it's one of our more like fucked up, like weird, awesome episodes.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. The last one was the highest rated episode ever, I think.
Nice.
What?
Last week. Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is weird because no one ever tells me things like that. I just assume, like, I guess we're doing okay.
No, I heard from, like, someone on X-Play. They just, like, it's like, hey, good numbers. Like, highest ever, huh? And I was like, my bosses don't tell me this.
Which is pretty amazing considering we're not on DirecTV right now.
Yeah. Imagine if we were.
You'd have upwards of 5 more.
Because I have DirecTV, so I can't watch my own fucking show.
Yeah. It's been good. It's been good.
Thanks. I mean, not like sometimes I do go home and watch my own show. But I try to watch it from the same way that I think it's good. It's not for vanity reasons, but it's the same reason you should listen to your sets. You record your sets. It's because I think it's good because a lot of people who do stand-up or who do shows are like, I can't watch myself. And then I kind of feel like, but you need to get the perspective of yourself as an audience member.
Yeah.
Like, removed. You need to watch you... And have it be removed from you.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I watch the sketches and, a lot of the stuff. But, sometimes I realize that a lot of jokes were getting lost in the video bits because, they just continue on while the laughter goes over it.
Yeah.
And you can't hear stuff. So sometimes, new information will come up during a laugh and then the next thing is based off of that information that was brought up and then there's no context to it.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, so the one time I tried doing a video where I, left... spots where people could laugh, and then it wasn't a very good one, and so there was just these gaps, and I was just like, never again.
No, never.
I'm making this for someone watching it on their computer.
No, just put it up there and let people get the jokes they're gonna get.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all you gotta do.
Don't try to make videos for a live audience. It is weird.
Well, we're at an hour. This is good. It's a good host for this week. I just can't stop thinking about about all the writing that I have to do.
No, I don't
like
blame you.
The Marx Brothers used to, because they did their. Like their first like 3 or 4 movies
were all
Broadway plays. Yeah. So they had it timed perfectly for the laughs. So in the movie, it's all timed out.
Yeah. So they would know, they would have actions they would know to do to wait for the audience at home to stop laughing. Yeah. No, they were fucking mathematicians when it came to comedy.
Yeah. You should read, if anybody out there, you can, I don't know if you can probably get it somewhere. I think it might even be on Kindle, but you should read.
Or a bookstore?
Or, well,
a
it's not in print. It's not
store?
It's not in print anymore. Groucho's autobiography.
It's not in print anymore?
No.
That's a shame.
No, it's not in print. But,
you'd really think one of the greatest comedy legends of all time, they would bother to print this fucking book.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do think you can get it on Kindle, and I highly recommend it.
All right, I have to go finish writing my book. I will have a book. Put out in the fall.
I'm going to go write some jokes.
Which, by the way, I pointed nerdistway.com to the book.
Oh, cool.
If you want to pre-order it. I expect you both to pre-order. I don't expect you and Matt to
pre-order. No,
it's in my shopping cart.
I will give you both a copy of the book, Matt and Jonah.
I think I want to keep the numbers up
so I'm gonna buy it.
Oh, you're sweet.
Yeah, I try to do that. I try to like.
I'm gonna get one at the signing.
Yeah,
the Barnes and Noble signing. You'll eventually have.
You're not. Do you expect me to buy your 7-inch now? Because that'd be really weird.
Oh, I guess. Well, that's fine. Whatever. I mean,
I'll buy two. I'll buy two, Chris. So
no. You buy one.
No, I'll buy two. That way, you don't have to buy one of his.
Thanks,
Jonah. I'll buy 100 of your 7-inches.
Hey,
I won't. That's a lot of money.
That's true.
You'll be wealthy by then.
It's gonna be on colored vinyl. Collector's.
Hey!
Colored vinyl only.
Come on.
It's African American vinyl.
2011. I'm sorry. African American vinyl.
Be a great name for a label.
Yeah, it would be for. It's yeah,
but not for white kids.
Not for white kids.
They would look like assholes.
Don't take it.
But if you're one of the blurs in the audience,
I was watching
African American vinyl.
Speaking of white kids, I was watching Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds Radio City Music Hall Blu-ray last night.
Sure, why wouldn't you?
Of course. And the audience shots
Jonah.
Are cringeworthy.
Jonah, wake up, Jonah.
What?
Jonah. What? The story's almost over.
Oh, thank God! I had this horrible dream that Matt was talking about Dave Matthews Band again.
So on Blu-ray,
yeah.
Was it so you could
really see the strings on that fiddle?
No. It was just Dave and Tim. It was acoustic.
Oh, you could really see the strings on that fiddle.
He is a talented musician.
He's great. No, he's a
fantastic guitarist.
He is.
You know who's a really fucking talented musician?
Who?
Andrew Bird.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever get a chance to see Andrew Bird live.
All loops.
Fucking take it.
It's incredible. His drummer is this guy, Dosh, who comes from the hip-hop world of
Was he on Dosh.0?
He was not... Dosh Dosh. I'm not sure how it's actually said, but Dosh Dosh, some of that. But he also works with Y. But he plays drums for Andrew Bird, and he does this like the same stuff. Andrew Bird will like loop, you know, like him plucking on his violin,
mm-hmm.
and then you know start playing stuff over that. While the drummer will do the same thing. He'll make a breakbeat live on the sit and loop it and continue on. It's fucking a great live show. Great live show.
Yeah, Andrew Bird is phenomenal.
I like loop pedals. I like people who use loop pedals. I always find it fascinating.
Yeah.
Like KT, if you ever see KT Tunstall, you might not enjoy her music, but I think she's fantastic live. I've seen her a couple times, but when she uses that loop pedal,
yeah,
fucking cool.
It's really good. What's a good album people should listen to
right now?
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of. Well, we already talked about all the new releases that came out, like Man Man's new album, which is great.
Armchair Apocrypha is a good.
That's
Bird album
from like 2006, I believe, which is a great, great album. The new Lonely Island is actually like pretty good. A couple bummer tracks, but that's about it. There's a band called The Burning Hell, and they have an album called Flux Capacitor.
Okay.
And there's a song about nostalgia where he ends up going into talking about the Lost Boys and Kiefer Sutherland and how he wants to be a vampire like Kiefer Sutherland, not like Max, the guy who runs a video store. And he says, but like his friend who was really way more into Tim Capello, the saxophone player. And then the song goes into a saxophone solo.
Oh, the beefcake saxophone player that they go
Tim
to.
Tim Capello.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's some other songs. And like, you know, of course, there's like it's a very the guy understands that nostalgia is he references it as being like a drug. He says nostalgia is like is a fake disease. Like fibromyalgia, but instead of phantom pain, it's phantom joy. You're not really sure where it comes from, but you just feel better.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool point. I'm a pretty nostalgic guy, so.
I love it when you say that.
Black Moth Super Rainbow has a new album out that's doing pretty good that I've been enjoying it. Yeah, nothing too crazy. Nothing too crazy out.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I, as always, like, I appreciate your keeping me tethered to the cool music. Poll.
You know, it's weird. I'll get people on Twitter saying, you and your hipster music, and I'm trying to understand what hipster music is. Because
music people haven't heard of that sounds good.
Do you think that's what it is?
That's what they think it is.
Yeah. So it's tough, you know. It's like I'm trying to, you know, tell people.
I haven't heard of that. It sounds good. Hipster.
Hipster music. I don't know.
I wouldn't categorize you as a hipster because you genuinely like things.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. A hipster, and I think we've talked about this before, it's not anything really. It's even less than the hippies were, and the hippies was just a small movement that became a fashion trend.
And I think the hipsters are the, kind of a similar thing, yeah. But it was never a movement. It was a style that became a fashion trend.
Well, you know what's interesting about hipsters is that I think hipsters are essentially cultural zombies, right?
Yeah.
Because there's sort of an emptiness behind what they're doing because they're just doing it for the sake of, like, isn't this fucking stupid? Like, I don't understand it, really.
It's, you know, but there's different levels of it because, you know, there's a lot of people who are doing things sincerely, but they'll still be called hipsters just because of the way they look. And, you know, it dates back before that. I know, I'm pretty sure we talked about this before, but, like, you know, the beatniks, you mm-hmm. know, and then there's like a bunch of people where it's like, oh, these guys are doing this thing. It's like, no, I'm a beatnik too, you know, or even before that, just like, I'm a fucking rock and roll, I'm a rockabilly guy, you know.
Yeah.
There was the flappers.
Yep.
The flappers.
It's just, but, you know, it's the hipster is not a movement. It's not a type of person. It really is just a fashion trend.
I think it's an attitude.
Is it an attitude?
I think it's an attitude. I think it's more of an attitude. I think the fashion trend, is a byproduct of the attitude, and the attitude is something along the lines of, isn't all of this stuff stupid? Ha ha! I'm gonna
yep.
Like it's not appreciating things for what they are. It's appreciating things for how stupid they are and showing everyone, like, I take ownership over this thing because it's dumb.
That's true.
Like, wearing big dumb glasses or, like, you know.
But then I think that's how a lot of it got going, you know, the anti-fashion trend, which became, like, what they wear. But now when there's other kids that see, you know, like, a girl wearing huge dumb granny glasses, they'll be like, that's cool. And they don't think it to themselves. There's not that other level of ironic, you know, detachment. They just go, that's cool, because that person is cool.
I'm
because
sure.
They're wearing it ironically, but they think it's cool.
I'm sure somewhere they're the, like, truly wearing it because it's ironic, not because
I just think ironic.
Cool.
Yeah. I think ironic detachment is basically a red flag for soullessness.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, there's
I
no...
mean, like, when you can't appreciate something for the fact that it's great, and you have to appreciate things for being shitty and showing people how you don't, how, because that's people going out of the way to say they don't give a shit, which means they must give a shit, right? Yeah. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, when, you know, when I started wearing, you know, like the Western style shirts that I wear, you know,
well, that's when you went back to 1885 to bring Doc Brown back.
I was on a road trip and I went to a Walmart and saw like a Western style shirt that I thought would be funny if I put it on. I was like, oh, look, I'm a cowboy.
There it is.
Yeah. But when I put it on, I realized that it fit me. Like, like the shoulders on these shirts are broad and the tails are long. And I was like, this shirt fucking fits like a glove. This is great. And I've been wearing them ever since, and I can't get away from them now.
I can't imagine you wearing other things, honestly.
Yeah,
they look great on you.
I don't think I've ever.
But the thing is, though,
seeing you in a t-shirt.
No, I don't wear t-shirts.
Yeah.
But you know, it all stemmed from like the dumb, you know, plaid shirts I would wear in school just to hide my man boobs. Yeah. That's the only reason I started wearing plaid colored shirts.
My man boobs are always there. I can't hide them.
But yeah, it's a hipster culture is a non-culture. It's just a bunch of consumers, really, is all it is. And now there's this, you know, younger scene of kids that are just it's celebrated to be silly and non-active and like non-active, inactive, like it's like, you know, just not to make your own, no one's making their own stuff. They're just making different versions of their newer stuff. That's what the current hipster community is, really, I believe.
Well, I think we've broken that down sufficiently.
I'm sorry.
No. I'm with you. I was just looking for a great. Someone sent equipment that I can't find.
I'm looking for equipment I cannot find.
Track of that.
I'm looking for equipment in my mind. And one day this quimin came to me. Was it a question or a comment? I could not see. But it's a quimin. It's a comment. It's a question. It's a quimin.
Cause there's a lot of sometimes when I wanna ask a question, but I wanna make a comment, and I have to say both. There's a time that I wanna share my heart, but I don't know how to get to this lady.
boat.
Clement.
Enjoy your burrito.
Stretch it. He never finished his book.
I've come back from the dead to fulfill my obligations.
Ghost book.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by GoToMeeting. Meet easily with colleagues, even when traveling or working remotely. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com and enter the promo code Nerdist.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.